Indian films tend to fall into two categories, the over-the-top Bollywood kind with their song and dance extravaganzas, and the dialogue-filled regional art films of masters like Satyajit Ray and Adore Gopalakrishnan. So how do you explain Asif Kapadia's The Warrior? It's based on a Japanese folktale and contains only 6 minutes of dialogue. It's practically minimalist. It has won numerous awards, including British Film of the Year and the Carl Foreman Award for Best Debut by a Director. And despite all of that, there's a fair amount of controversy surrounding it. It opens today at the Angelica Film Center and brings Asif Kapadia to my show today. Hello.
Hello there.
Other second-generation Anglo-Indians have set their work in England, like the writer Hanif Qureshi and filmmakers like Gurinder Chadha, who made Bend It Like Beckham. So what happened with you?
Oh, I like to daydream, I suppose, and I was sitting there and it was raining in London and I was blank piece of paper in front of me and I just had this feeling of, well, I wanted to be somewhere else. I didn't want to be shooting a movie in sort of grey drizzle or surrounded by concrete. So I kind of sat there and wrote Exterior Desert Day. I just thought, wouldn't it be nice to be shooting a movie, a Western? Let's go somewhere where let's shoot horses. And that kind of developed, and I was working with a co-writer, Tim Miller. And the original idea was, we're going to make a samurai movie. We'll go to Japan and make a samurai movie. And then it sort of dawned on me, well, this is my first movie, and why would anyone give me the money to make a Japanese movie in Japan? So I had to think radically about how to bring the budget down and how to make it doable. And I shifted it back to India, which is where I'd previously shot a student film.
In fact, to one of the areas you'd shot a student film. But you were unhappy with London weather, and you chose instead to go to one of the hottest places in the world and then one of the colder places in the world.
Yeah, I get bored quickly, I think. I don't know. I'm interested in kind of the landscape of a movie, where a movie is set and how that helps you tell the story. And I just felt, I couldn't think of anywhere in the UK or in Europe where I could make this movie. The obvious thing would have been to maybe try and shoot the film in Monument Valley. But you've seen that. And so half the fun was to try and set the movie within a new landscape that maybe people didn't know about so well.
But even though you are the son of parents from India, this was only your third time going to India, wasn't it?
Yes, I first went to India when I was about 21 years old for a couple of weeks to kind of visit my family and see where my parents, the villages where my parents first came from and the towns where they came from. And then the second time I went there really was to shoot my student film, my graduation film from the Royal College of Art in London.
Which was in the desert, the Rajasthan Desert.
Was a story of a street kid, and the entire movie, the cast were all non-professional actors, and we shot it in a village in Rajasthan. And that short film won a prize at Cannes and won a few awards around the world. And it was really off the back of that that I was able to put the financing together to make The Warrior in India.
Well, this is a very ambitious film. It's of epic scope, and yet you were shooting it on a relatively tight budget. Partly saving money on casting. You mentioned working with non-professionals. And you did that here as well. But your flawed hero is played by a professional. His name is Irfan Khan.
That's right.
Yeah. He was not a big star until this movie.
He was known mainly for TV work. He was like in the Indian version of The X-Files, and he was always a baddie. He's got an amazing presence, an amazing look, but he's not your classic, as they say in India, chocolate box looks. He's not the conventionally bland pretty. He's far more interesting. And so he was always cast as a bad guy.
He has most incredible eyes.
Totally, yeah. I mean, he really, when I met him, I just thought, this guy looks like he's done some bad things in his past. And I just thought, he's perfect for what I'm looking for. And he has this presence. He just has something about him. But he was getting not very interesting work. He was always the bad guy, or, you know, there was always these crashy zooms into his eyes on a lot of the TV was doing. He didn't sing, he didn't dance, so he wasn't really playing the game to do some of the Bollywood movies. And when I met him, he was really ready to give up acting. He was directing himself. And we met and we got along, and he's a big fan of Western and European cinema, so we actually had a lot in common when we talked about movies. And that's what led on to us finding a way to collaborate.
Well, you mentioned earlier you wanted to do a samurai movie, and many people have drawn connections between this film and Westerns and samurai films. Some people have seen the Outlaw Josie Wales, Clint Eastwood movie here. Others have mentioned Anthony Mann, Bud Buttiger, and Kurosawa as well because of his samurai westerns, and Sergio Leone, I guess, too, the spaghetti westerns. Have I left anybody out?
Well, some of the other films that I suppose inspired me were generally sort of Chinese cinema, Yang Yimou's early films, Story of Kiju or Raise the Red Lantern. It was just something about those types of movies that were a big inspiration for me. And also a French-Vietnamese director called Tran Un Hung, who made a film called Cyclo. His first film was The Scent of Green Papaya. Mm. But his second film in particular, he's Vietnamese and he lives in Paris, but he went to Vietnam to shoot his second movie. And it's like a modern version of Bicycle Thieves. And that really affected me because you have a young director who obviously knows the culture in Vietnam, but he was an outsider. He was French. And that was like a light bulb going off for me because I thought, well, I understand the culture in India, but I'm so not Indian. I'm European. And I was somehow putting those two sides of my background together to make a movie.
And how did the Indians respond to you when you walk into a room? They spot that you're Indian, but I suspect the way you walk into a room immediately reveals that you're not from India.
Everything about me says I'm not from around here. It's the way I walk, it's the way I sit, it's the way I, you know, my posture, the way I carry everything. I'm so obviously not. I'm a foreigner. Yeah, that's definitely the way I'm looked at.
Well, although this movie is about a warrior who gives up warfare in search of salvation, you've described it as a quintessential London film. What do you mean by that?
I suppose what I mean by that is it's a modern British movie in terms of the financing was all British. I'm from Britain. I'm a Londoner, born and bred there. My producer's French. My cameraman's Nigerian German. My composer was Italian. My editor was Swedish. The production designer's Irish. But everyone lives in London. And it was just something, and all of my cast were Indian. And it's just this kind of mad idea of that. It's like New York City, you know, everyone is from somewhere else, but we all happen to live in London. And it was something about bringing these people together and people whose parents were from somewhere else, but who live in London working on this movie. That's not even in English. It was something about that for me made it feel like a modern British movie.
Could you have made it using an all-Indian crew? After all, India is one of the most sophisticated filmmaking countries of the world.
I mean, honestly, 80% of the crew were Indian from Bombay. The heads of department were people who I'd worked with previously on my student films, but everyone else was from the Indian film industry.
Could you tell us the basic plot?
The basic plot is you've got a strong man who works for a local warlord, and his job is to carry out his orders and to collect the taxes and do whatever he's asked to do. And if someone's late with payment, he has to execute them. And really, it's the story of a character who one day comes to face with a young girl, and it drives him to change his way of living. So essentially, at its heart, the film's about trying to escape from a world of violence.
And he pays a steep price for not killing that girl.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose my aim was to say that to go from violence to non-violence isn't straightforward or easy, and it's going to be a challenge. And really, the story's about this character's path and trying to escape from violence.
But meanwhile, you were shooting that the first part in Rajasthan, where it gets up to 120 degrees every day. There are scorpions and all sorts of other problems to deal with. Malaria?
One of my crew was bitten by a mosquito, but not your common garden mosquito, but he got cerebral malaria, one of the most deadly sort of forms, and it was pretty close cut. Someone else was bitten by a rabid dog. We had scorpion stings. You name it. People were dropping every day. It was a tough one.
Can you take shots to protect yourself against these things?
Yeah, you can take shots. The one you can't cover is rabies. You've got to basically be taken away. The girl who was bitten by the dog ended up having to be flown home.
And so
it's the art department that always suffer. They're the ones who go in there first when everything's all the creepy crawlies around. By the time the rest of the crew get there, everything's been cleaned up.
Uh-huh. And then you shot there for how long? It's an 11-week shoot, so you were there for half the time?
I'd say, yeah, just over half the time, maybe two-thirds of the time was in the desert. And then the last third, we moved up to the Himalayas.
And that had to be extremely cold.
Yeah, Himalayas in winter is pretty cold. we were staying at a hotel that didn't have any heating. So I had like one of those old-fashioned heaters with three bars next to my bed. The most dangerous kind of heater you've got, because if your bed sheets fall over onto it, the whole place goes on. Someone did actually have a small fire in their hotel room as well at one point during the shoot.
But
I had ice all over my windows every night, you know.
But these were some of the most dramatic settings possible. Perhaps you could have found similar things elsewhere, but India is an extraordinarily visual country.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about India, it's a vast continent. You know, it's a billion people, and it's got the Himalayas at one side, deserts at one end, jungles, tigers, elephants. You know, it's just the scope of what you can achieve. It's like the United States in a way. It's just so vast, and the landscape is so amazing. And for me, it's just an amazing palette to be able to work with.
My guest is Asif Kapadia, who's made a film called The Warrior that won pretty much every award it could have won at the time. That was 2001, 2002, and snapped up by Miramax when it won the BAFTAs, and I guess it was a top film at the London Film Festival and all sorts of other things. And here we are 4.5 years later. What happened?
I think patience is a virtue. I think, you know, it can take you years to write a screenplay and it can take years to finance a movie. So maybe it just suits it that it takes years to get your movie out there. You know, it's just part of the process.
Well, Harvey Weinstein is notorious for holding up the release of some of the Miramax films. And I suspect that because he's selling the company or giving it up to Disney, he's decided to finally release some of these films. Luckily, there's a timeless quality about it. It isn't all
about
2001.
It's all part of the master plan. Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Now, I think the funny thing is because we don't, you know, essentially it's my first movie. No one's heard of me. There's no stars. What's worked for us is that wherever the films come out, it's given it a chance for word of mouth to grow. And for because it's won some prizes or because journalists have seen it, it's really helped us to have someone talk about a movie because we need all the help we can get in a way.
But wasn't there a debate at Miramax over whether to release this with subtitles or dubbed English?
There was a debate at one point, and they were at one point talking about releasing it in an English version. Because there's so little dialogue, and actually I just think because of the nature of the movie, I personally didn't think it's believable if they were speaking in an English, especially because a lot of the actors don't speak English. They're non-professionals. But in the end, it's coming out in the original version, so that's really, really great.
But you had only written 6 minutes of dialogue in all. Because these characters would be taciturn, or was that something that was forced on you because of the way you were doing this?
No, really, it's a stylistic thing that I've been working on from a lot of my short films, where I've been making films of varying lengths without any dialogue for some time. I'm a big fan of just visual cinema. I suppose I got sick of movies at one point where I would go to see a film and I could close my eyes and I knew everything that was happening because it was a radio play, happened to be on a big screen. And I just thought, well, I want to make movies that you have to watch. That, and I'm a big fan of Hitchcock and, you know, filmmakers who tell the story with images and tell the story in the cut. And that was really my aim, was to try and teach myself to make a film where the only way you're going to get this story is if you see it on a big screen.
Well, Hitchcock began as a silent filmmaker, and to some degree that's what you're talking about here as well, movies as movies. But if you had dubbed it into English, you might have had a chance for winning an Oscar. That's one of the ironies here, isn't it?
I don't know. You know, you don't think about it when you're doing it. I suppose at the point you're making the movie, you just got to be true to what the movie is and in your gut, what it is you think is right for the film. And, you know, who knows? Maybe in the future I might make a film where I'll work in India and I will shoot it in English. But for this film, it just felt it would take out the heart of the actual movie to change the language.
As I understand it, England, the United Kingdom, wanted to send it in as their official Oscar entry, but it was rejected for being... for not being indigenous enough because the only language used in the film is Hindi, so it couldn't be considered a British film.
Yeah, because this is for the foreign language Oscar. So it was the UK's entry for the non-English movie. And it was fantastic when we were selected and we were entered and we were accepted. And then somewhere down the line, the Academy disqualified us because they didn't think I was British or the film wasn't British. And so we ended up talking and having a conversation. They said, well, the financing is British. I'm British. I've written it. I've directed all the crew are British. It was post-produced in the UK. All we did was shoot it somewhere else. Screen International, the Trade Daily, did an editorial on it, and they compared our film to, I think it was Schindler's List. And basically, it's the same situation. You have a filmmaker who's working in another country with actors who are not necessarily American, and some of the dialogue's not necessarily in English. But it just comes down to, you know, they just felt we were not right. There's another film by Lucas Moodysson called Lilia Forever, made in the same year we were there, which was shot in Russia.
He's Swedish. He shot a film
in Russia in Russian, which was accepted. But for some reason, our film wasn't. And then it came down to, you know, I don't know. Anyway, we got kicked out. So it was a downer. But then 2 weeks later, the British Academy Awards came along and we won a prize there. So maybe it's, you know, if one hadn't happened, the other one wouldn't have happened.
But it has changed your life. It's changed the life of your star. He's now big in India. What about some of the amateurs? You have some amazing performances from some kids, for example. Any of them change their lives as a result?
Yeah. There's a young man, Nurmani, who's the street kid in the film, who was a real street kid. He'd been living rough from the age of seven, living on a train station platform. And when I met him, he was at a foundation set up by the director, Mira Nair, for street kids, following her film Salaam Bombay. And he, following our movie, has gone on to work on quite a few big Hindi Bollywood movies. And so he's actually really working as an actor. He's got a career going. I'm still in contact with him via email, and he's been doing TV serials, and he's right now he's working and in waiting tables like most actors, I suppose, around the world.
I would have assumed that your next film either would have taken place in India or in England, but I hear that it's a thriller starring Sarah Michelle Gellar, an American star.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Sam Shepard, Peter O'Brien, yeah, and a few other American actors. Yeah, I'm doing a film for Focus Features, which I've just shot in Austin, Texas, a sort of psychological thriller. It's been exciting. I mean, I like to work in different genres.
Hope it isn't up for a foreign Oscar, because you won't win it if you do that.
Well,
although Texas is kind of foreign, you know.
It's strange enough. No, what I'd like to do is, in a way, I'd love to be able to do my own personal work, which I write, and then maybe do another film, which is, you know, maybe a more straight-up commercial movie. So the film after this is probably going to be my own screenplay, and it's called True North, and it's set up in the Arctic, and it's much more in tone to The Warrior. And so I think I like the idea of doing one of these and then doing a slightly different film and going between the two. I find it exciting.
And meanwhile, the response in all the reviews has been pretty spectacular. So I suspect that you have a nice career laid out for you, Harvey Weinstein or not. The film we're talking about is The Warrior, and it opens today at the Angelica Film Center. My great thanks to its director and co-writer, Asif Kapadia, for being my guest.
Thank you. Really great to be here.